Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, and I'm the author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, our guest is Mr. Phil Johnson. Good morning, Phil.
Hi, good morning, Kimberly. It's great to see you again.
Yes, so I'm going to just read your bio so people can know who you are. So, Phil Johnson is the founder and CEO of the Master of Business Leadership Program. For the past 31 years, he has been dedicated to helping executives and organizations achieve amazing results. MBL alumni are in the US, Canada, UK, Europe, Japan, Germany, Bosnia, Africa, Australia, Middle East, and Saudi Arabia. All right. Well, that sounds like fun. You sounds like you've traveled all over the place.
Well, you know what? I used to do a lot of traveling, mainly within the United States, but now I do it all just like this via Zoom. At one
Isn't that
point in
cool?
my career, I was traveling about 60,000 miles a year.
That is a lot.
That's a
So,
lot of flights.
and I've heard people have some different customs, but they're kind of the same everywhere. Is that about right?
The challenges and opportunities we face, we're all pretty much the same.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us your story? We're going to be talking about this emotional intelligence, and I don't know anyone that when they're 10, they're going, "When I grow up, I'm going to teach people about emotional intelligence." So, how did you start out? Tell us your story.
I kind of fell into it actually, and then I became more purposeful as the decades went on. I was born with dyslexia, and that and back in those days, by the way, I'm in my 70th year, so back in those days, there was no such thing as dyslexia, ADD or ADHD. And I didn't realize I was dyslexic until about 35 years ago. But it forced me to do a lot of what I now refer to as emotional labor. And that helped to give me the awareness that I use in my coaching practice. But I've really been on this path for the last 55 years. It started back in January of 1968, a month after my mother had died of cancer. And I wanted to see what was on the other side of the hill and come back and help my friends that had already given up on life. So I went on through my education and spent 20 years as an executive in the semiconductor industry prior to leaving that industry to do what I've been doing now, all over the world.
Wow. So let's start with the semiconductor industry. Tell me what that is and what you did in that industry.
Well, what a semiconductor industry. Semiconductors are the nails and screws of the electronics industry. They're the integrated circuits that go into to everything: cell phones, computers, telephones, spaceships. So after I went through university and obtained a business degree at McMaster University in Hamilton, I studied electrical engineering for 5 years, and started in the semiconductor industry in the late 1970s, and progressed in my career, I decided to leave that industry to do what I do now.
So was it the death of your mom that made you change to that, or
Yeah,
what was it that
it was the death of my mom and my dyslexia that really became the that really created the tipping point for me. And I kind of became this super overachiever. And by 1990, I had all the toys. And I remember talking with one of my older brothers one summer morning. I said, is this all there is? Having been born with dyslexia and failing grade 3 and failing grade 5, I'd accomplished more than I or anyone else ever thought I would. And but I realized I was working with multi-billion dollar companies with, and I realized the level of dysfunction and toxicity. That was occurring within individuals and organizations. And it really brought me back, and it helped me to remember the promise I'd made to myself in January of 1968. So I eventually decided to leave the semiconductor industry to begin the creation of what is I now refer to as the Master of Business Leadership program.
So within the corporate environment, is there something in that environment, maybe because it's competitive, that causes it to be toxic? Is it that people are in so much fear, or they want to get ahead, or they just don't want to lose their job? I mean, what is it that causes that toxicity?
Ego-based fear. The central thesis of what I've been proving over the last 23 years involves energy physics. I've worked with people running multi-billion dollar companies with thousands of employees and Harvard MBAs and PhDs, and I've been a faculty advisor to doctoral students at Northwestern in organizational development and emotional intelligence. But the root cause problem and root cause solution to everything involves our unconscious, the unconsciousness, the unconscious ways we give away our energy. And we do it in lots of different ways, how we communicate, listen, take responsibility, make decisions, all sorts of ways. But when we give away our energy, it creates an energy deficit in us. So at the same time we're giving away our energy over here, we're having to try and replace that energy by stealing energy from other people over here. And that dynamic is going on inside of everybody, everywhere, all over the world, all the time. So what I do in the Master of Business Leadership program is I show people how they're unconsciously giving away their energy. And I give them better habits to practice to stop doing that. And when they stop giving away their energy, their need to steal the energy of other people goes away because they don't need it. And the outcomes of doing this work is you become a more inspirational leader. You develop your emotional intelligence. You become more conscious of what's going on in you and around you, which frees you from your ego-based fears, which leads to higher levels of trust and engagement, which guarantees career, personal, and corporate success. Now, having said all of that, I can tell you that it's extremely challenging. The process of doing that, excuse me, is challenging because we have both biological and sociological resistance to change. And the reason more and more companies are hiring, developing, and promoting largely based on emotional intelligence is because we're facing a tsunami of rapidly accelerating change with a 500 million year old brain that doesn't like change. Some scientists estimate in this century we could experience the equivalent of 20,000 years worth of change or 200 centuries worth of change. Nothing like that has ever happened before in our history. And we need to be developing our emotional intelligence to deal with the fear and anxiety that change and innovation triggers in us.
And do you think there's certain personalities that that's easier for than others? So I know when I was doing my study on, what makes people happy, there's some people that there's genetically, they just come in a little more cheerful than other people. It's just their disposition. I mean, and there's some people, but anybody can be trained, train themselves to look at, to be grateful, to look at the positive, to, choose to be happy. So when you're working with people, are there certain personalities that are, that have a harder time embracing this change or making these changes?
Yes, the more we're being controlled by our fear, the more difficult it is for us to leave our comfort zone in pursuit of better habits and results. So yeah, it's directly related to the control that our ego-based fears have over us. Some people, through their life experience, have been working unconsciously for the most part in doing the emotional labor of learning to feel and move through their fear more than others. So, and quite frankly, employers are looking for those type of people. And I can give you an example later on if you'd like about a company that's currently valued at over $3 trillion. And they're doing about $600 billion a year in revenue. And their primary hiring focus is emotional intelligence.
So when you say emotional intelligence, what are they looking for? Like if I was going to interview someone, because people can sometimes interview very well, but then you get them on the job and it's like, oh, this is a different person. So how do they screen for that? Or how do they even know who to hire?
The more emotionally intelligent you are, the easier it is to spot it in other people or the lack of it. There are questions you can ask during an interview process that can give you some clues into their level of emotional intelligence. But it's the more self-aware you are, the easier it is to spot in other people.
Well, that makes sense because even if you meet somebody new, if you have a lot in common, you're like, oh, there's that bond right away. Like you kind of feel I'm from the
Yeah.
north, but I've been living in the south for 30 years. But when I meet somebody from up north, I know you're from up north because there's that bond that even though you haven't said I'm from up north, you kind of can communicate better.
There's a Because we've evolved from tribes or herds over hundreds of millions of years, we've had to develop the ability to sense whether somebody's trying to help us or eat us. So we have these specialized brain cells in our prefrontal cortex that brain scientists call mirror neurons. If you want, your listeners can Google it. But basically, they're specialized brain cells that can sense the energy from other people. That's why when you walk into a room, you can sense the energy in the room, or you're having a conversation with somebody, you can sense whether their walls are up or down, whether they're trying to help you or hurt you. So you can't fake being authentic. And as you learn to stop giving away your energy, you become less resistive, less judgmental, less attached to outcome, and that inspires others pick up on that, not so much consciously, but unconsciously, and they actually feel safer to lower their walls and be who they truly are around you, and that creates inspirational leadership. It's energy physics.
So, a person who is practicing emotional intelligence or they've been practiced at it, they would be less likely to be wondering what other people think about them or how they're going to come off, or they're going to be more willing to communicate or say exactly how they feel because they're secure in themselves. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, they're no longer giving away their energy to their ego-based fears. Let me give you an example of how we actually give away our energy. And one of the MBL habits is called authentic listening. And the key to authentic listening is not to take anything personally. How you feel about yourself shouldn't be determined by how other people feel about you, but it often does. If you like me, I like me. If you don't like me, I don't like me. As crazy as that might sound, that describes all of social media. We bend over backwards to put our best foot forward so that people will like us, so we'll feel better about ourselves. And when we give away our energy in that way, it doesn't end there, because at the same time we're unconsciously giving away our energy, we have to be trying to replace that energy by stealing energy of others. And that dynamic is going on continually. And within organizations, that's one of the reasons that they're so toxic. The current level of employee engagement worldwide, according to Gallup, is around 13%. Low levels of employee engagement are costing the U.S. economy alone over $1 trillion a year. So it's a massive problem, and it's going to get a lot worse because of this accelerating rate of global change we're facing and the 500 million year old brain we have that doesn't like change. So let me explain that a little more. There's a part of our old lizard brain that has been trying to keep us safe and alive by making sure we never leave the security of our comfort zone or our cave. It's called the amygdala. So whenever we take an action that moves us outside of our comfort zone, it automatically triggers the release of a hormone into our bloodstream called cortisol. And that causes the executive center of our brain to shut off. And we go into what psychologists refer to as an amygdala hijack. Some people lash out, some people run away, some people freeze like a deer in the headlights. When that happens in conflict situations, people die. And when it happens in business or personal situations, relationships die. We burn trust. Excuse me. So as an analogy, if you think of your amygdala as a very frightened four-year-old child, the development of our emotional intelligence acts like a big brother or a big sister to quiet the amygdala response down so that we're better able to feel the fear and anxiety that change and innovation always triggers in us and be able to move through it towards what it is we're trying to achieve, rather than allowing that fear to keep us trapped in our comfort zones. So an example of a company that's hiring based on that is Apple. That's why when you walk into an Apple store, the energy you feel is an example of a more emotionally intelligent environment. They're not trying to sell you anything. They're trying to understand your pain and, if possible, offer a solution to your pain. They want you to have a great experience, and maybe you'll tell your friends and they'll tell their friends. And if you think about it, the way you feel, that energy you feel in that environment, is a very different energy from the energy coming out of the stores surrounding that environment. So that's an example of a more emotionally intelligent environment that leads to higher levels of trust and engagement.
So what is the relation or connection between emotional intelligence, companies that practice that, and their bottom line, basically how much profit they're making?
I've helped organizations generate over $1.5 billion in revenue and people advance in their careers. There's a direct correlation between emotional intelligence and career success, personal success, organizational success. You build higher levels of trust and engagement. All purchasing decisions are emotional decisions. They're made in the limbic part of our brain. After we make the decision about whether we want to work with somebody or not emotionally, we look for features and benefits intellectually to justify the decision we've already made emotionally. So if somebody doesn't trust you, they'll find a way not to work with you, even if you have the best pricing and the best technology. Conversely, if they do trust you, they'll find a way to work with you, even if you don't have the best pricing or the best technology. Because of the accelerating rate of global change, we're being forced more and more to rely on our network of trusted advisors to make decisions. So your network of trusted advisors as an individual or an organization is the greatest asset you have. There's something called the trust economy, which is growing much faster than the traditional economy. It's currently valued at over $10 trillion a year. And to put that in perspective, if the trust economy were a country, it would be the third largest economy in the world behind the United States and China. So trust ability is directly related to our ability to lower our walls, and that's directly related to our level of emotional intelligence.
So, give me a little bit of step by step. If you're going to work with a company, are you just working with this CEOs in the C-suite, top level people, or just the managers, or are you working with the whole company? Like, what? How do you do that? How do you make it trickle down? Because even if there's really great leaders and they're inspiring people, that doesn't mean the people they're inspiring actually know how to reciprocate or to respond to, the communication they're getting.
Great question. I work with everybody, and the only prerequisite is they have to have an urgent desire for better results than they're currently getting, because that motivation needs to be there in order for them to do the emotional labor that change requires. See, leadership's not a position, it's a choice, and we all need to become better leaders. Typically, as people go through the MBL program, the people around them notice the changes in them and the results they're getting. And they're saying, whatever's in the Kool-Aid, I want some too. So that's kind of like the ultimate accreditation. The MBL program is focused on actions and results. And I often tell people before I start working with them, I don't care what you think. I only care what you do, because what you do will change what you think. See, we're all telling ourselves a story to justify whatever actions we're taking or avoiding. But as we change our actions, that story automatically changes to fall in line with those actions. So you have to act your way into thinking differently. You don't think your way into acting differently. So let me give you an example of kind of a numeric example of the difference between IQ and EQ. Think of IQ as somebody giving you $10,000 a day for 31 days. So at the end of 31 days, you've got $310,000. Think of emotional intelligence as a penny that doubles in value every day. So day one, you have a penny. Day two, you have 2 pennies. Day 31, you have $10.7 million. Day 40, you've got over 5 billion. Day 50, you've got over 5 trillion. See, our ability to do intellectual labor is genetic. If you have a high IQ, your parents had a high IQ, their parents had a high IQ, you simply inherited those genes. You didn't do anything to develop them. So not everybody can have 160 IQ. But everybody can develop their emotional intelligence, and the ROI is massively greater than intellectual intelligence. Matter of fact, there was a 40-year study done at UC Berkeley comparing IQ with EQ that concluded that emotional intelligence was 400% more valuable in determining success than intellectual intelligence. See, our educational system has failed us, and our employment system has failed us, because it's focused primarily on our ability to do intellectual labor and has done nothing to develop our emotional intelligence. So we're facing a tsunami of accelerating global change that we are completely unprepared for.
So when you start working with a company, what are some of the things you tell them to do? Like, okay, I want you to do this instead of this, or just give an example of, what they would work on.
Well, one of the things I mentioned is the authentic listening, to not take things personally. How somebody feels about you has nothing to do with you. It has to do with what's going on inside of them. But if how you feel about yourself is based on how anybody else feels about you, you're giving away your energy unconsciously to them. And that's creating the reciprocal effect of you needing to steal energy from others to replace the energy you're unconsciously giving away. So that's just one of several habits that people learn in the MBL program that helps them to stop giving away their energy and the subsequent need to steal the energy of others.
So when people are communicating with others, are there certain things you tell them? You know, when you're the one not listening, but you're the one actually speaking, how do we speak so that they can actually hear, understand, and maybe not accept it, but at least understand what you're saying?
Yeah, great question. There's actually to become an authentic, this is actually the first MBL habit. It's called authentic communications. And it depends on what your current habit is. And there are essentially four different kinds of communication styles. But let's say you have a habit of telling the truth. And you're really focused, high energy level, focused on results generation. But when your ego takes over, sometimes you tell the truth without compassion or empathy for the person you're speaking with. And the truth in that way becomes kind of like a hammer to control and manipulate others. That's the opposite of authentic communications. That causes people to raise their walls and become disengaged. So to become an authentic communicator, to stop giving away your energy in that situation, you need to add compassion to telling the truth. Always tell the truth, but telling the truth alone is not enough. To become an authentic communicator, you have to tell the truth with compassion for the person you're speaking with. Now, that doesn't mean you're taking responsibility for them, but it does cause you to lower your walls, which in turn helps them to lower their walls.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if there are individuals or companies that would like to work with you, how do they connect with you? Do you have a website or do you have resources? How should they approach that?
Yes, yes, and yes. The best way, if they'd like to meet with me, I'll give you the link to my Zoom calendar. And if they want to hop on that calendar, we can continue the discussion.
Okay. All right. That is probably the way I say. I think, and I have it right here in the show notes. I was just checking that. So
Okay.
we're good. So yeah, people could get a hold of you. And I have some other things that you had given me too that I'll put in the show notes for people if they wanted to see your podcast or your books. So and then they can connect with you. So
That's right.
now I have a personal question for you.
Sure.
What gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life at this point?
Doing this, meeting with you, helping people succeed by going through the MBL program. I've never been happier in my life. I can't wait to get up in the morning.
And we talked about that before you get on here. 3 a.m. in the morning, you get up.
I do. I've been getting up around then for over 15 years now. So I work with people in all different parts of the world. And having said that, by the middle of the afternoon, that's like midnight for me. So.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and, just sharing with us emotional intelligence and how that it can help us help our companies. So.
Kimberly, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and I also want to thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, thank you. So I have one last question before we complete. What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
Bet on yourself by developing your emotional intelligence. The ROI, you will be amazed at the impact it will have on your life. It will guarantee that the rest of your life will be the best of your life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Phil.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.